We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining me right now live in studio is a guy that I feel in ways we're very similar.
Sure.
But in ways we're very, very different.
Also correct.
And that is a world famous KFC from Barstool. Thank you very much for
absolutely,
coming in, by the way.
I appreciate it. It's overdue.
I like to hang out with people.
Yeah,
and you're one of the people. I was like, this could be fun to hang out with
you. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's taken too long for this to finally happen. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad you came. See, the reason I think we're similar is because we do root for very similar teams. Not the Knicks. I mean, I can't stand the Knicks.
No, but you're kind of in an equally miserable boat.
Oh.
So it's not like you're living the high life when it comes to the NBA.
Yeah. I don't know if I go back and forth. I think I'm more miserable because I have no fans. Like, there's nobody who
there's
cares.
There's just total indifference.
Right.
Right.
But
I have James Dolan, who is literally the worst owner in all of sports.
Yeah, but I had a Russian who came in who sold me on the world. He sold me on everything.
I mean, he tried. He tried.
Yeah, he tried. Sold everything for me. See, at least with the Knicks, you have so many people you can share the misery with.
Well, wow. What's interesting about the Knicks is it's the only thing in this city where everybody kind of comes together.
See? But it's arrogance.
But it's, well.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's not an arrogance. It's just the only, I mean, the Nets are irrelevant, like you said.
There you go.
So it's not, I mean, listen, it's just the only city, the only sport in the city where you kind of get people to get on the same page. It just happens to be a miserable page of constantly losing.
It really is.
I mean, when Jeremy Lin is your hot, you know, your best thing in the last 15 years for 2 weeks. I mean, pathetic.
I know. And it was my team that brought him into this world.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we signed him and he played 5 minutes for us, basically. Yeah. It was a waste of time. But you're also a Jet fan and a Met fan. And I was surprised because I was a believer that I would have started Teddy Bridgewater. I would have because he played well. He's a veteran, but he's also young where there's an upside.
Yep, for sure.
But I've seen some of your tweets. I think you're way too far about the idea of not starting Sam Darnold.
I hope I'm wrong, and I understand the logic of get him the reps, get him the experience. If you think he's going to be good, he's probably going to be okay. I understand all that. I just, you know, 2 minutes ago, we were all about tanking, get the pick, build for the future, focus on the future. And now to I feel like, rush into starting the youngest quarterback ever for a team that, you know, notoriously has quarterback problems and a team that has trouble handling the media in a very tough city, all that adds up to problems for me.
But when would it be different, though? Because the criticisms of them would still be there if they go to him 6 weeks from now or even next year.
I feel like 6 weeks from now, say they've had a rough 6 weeks, say someone gets injured, you are now putting him in the position to kind of be the savior. Like, oh, Darnold's coming to the rescue because McCown's hurt or because we lost 5 out of 6 or whatever it may be. So now everyone is kind of, they have to have his back almost no matter what. I think now you just kind of put the pressure square on him. And I know, I mean, Miami and Buffalo in the first few weeks is if you're going to put someone in a place to succeed, there it is. But I just feel like, you know, if he goes 0-3 or 1-2 and he says something wrong and Bowles doesn't handle the media right, like, I just see how the circus spirals again.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't think he's going to say anything stupid.
No.
I think he's got his head on straight.
He does seem to be, yes, correct.
I think that could he be terrible or at least play terribly? Absolutely. I mean, he's a rookie quarterback. Look at what Troy Aikman did in his first year. He was awful.
And again, I mean, the youngest.
Oh,
just turned 21. He's a baby, man.
But you know what I think a part of this is? I mean, look at the Chicago Bears, right? Mitchell Trubisky was not overly impressive last year. Mm-hmm. But they realize if he ever turns into anything, there's only a certain amount of time before you have to pay him.
True story.
So go all in.
Yeah.
And I think that if you don't start Sam Darnold, and again, I was in favor of starting Teddy Bridgewater, but it wasn't necessarily 16 weeks of Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
It was, let's see what happens. You know, maybe another quarterback gets hurt. Maybe you turn him into a first-round pick. A team goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what'll happen. Maybe he'll get hurt. I have no idea. I wasn't committing to it for a full season, but I think the sooner you get him out there, the sooner he works through the warts, the sooner he figures it out, the sooner you can do what the Bears are doing, which is basically go all in because there's a limited amount of time before you got to start paying this guy.
I understand all the logic behind that. There is just a part of me that thinks this is the New York Jets, and they're going to Jets this. And I'm battered, and I'm bruised, and I can't change my mentality. Everybody's favorite beat writer, Manesh, was writing the other day. Don't let the past influence your, you
He's
know.
He's very pro Sam Darnold.
I mean, well,
scarily.
Until week four when he decides not to be and he starts trashing him and just does whatever he needs to do to sell papers and get clicks. But I cannot let go of the past because there's just been decades of this pointing to one thing and one thing only. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he's the one who breaks the cycle. I hope I hope they just change everything they've been doing. But it's a tough sell for me.
You know why I'm sort of positive about this? And I'm not overly positive. It depends on the day. I mean, sometimes I'm positive. Sometimes I'm not positive. I'm not positive about Zach Wheeler. Does that mean I'm negative? I don't know if Jeff McNeil's going to be a superstar.
Well, he won't be.
No, probably not.
Probably not.
But here's why I'm positive about Sam Darnold. Besides the fact that when you watch him, he looks like the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Joe always says this about breaking curses. It's got to be epic, right? So the Red Sox are down 0-3 to the Yankees. They come back. Mm-hmm. What an epic way to stop that curse, right? Mm-hmm. The Cubbies, they're down 3-1 in the World Series. They look dead. They come back. They win the World Series. Epic way to turn it around.
Right. Storybook, Disney movie type stuff.
Stupid. Like, you wouldn't believe it if it was in a movie. You'd say it's too corny.
Then you turn down the script, right?
Yeah, it's dumb. The Cavs. Look at the Cavs.
Yep.
Draymond Green gets suspended. They come back 3-1. LeBron the block. Kevin Love's actually playing defense. He doesn't normally play defense. Cavs win a championship. Are you with me on all this? All right, now we'll get to the Jet part. Last year, you were probably one. I don't remember, but you were probably a let's just lose every game, right?
100%. I had a 16-week series, the goddamn Jets, and it was just all about lose every game, and every time you win, you are an idiot.
That's right.
And, you know, we had to trade up for it. We ended up getting the pick. It's all fine. But I absolutely was on board with
that. That's it. See, you just short-circuited the story here, right? So they have to lose every game. Why did they have to lose every game? What player were you eyeing?
Well, it's Darnold. I mean, I know what you're saying. They ended up getting their man.
But think about how they got there.
Yeah.
So Ernie was the same way. I wasn't because you know what? And even Joe wasn't. I was a sucker for, hey, I want to win football games. I want to see him win games.
What an idiot.
Why?
Because it's just business at this point. There's the worst spot you can be is where the Jets put themselves. They ended up getting their man. But what is the difference between 2 wins and 4 wins?
Because
1 win and 5 wins. You're still garbage.
I agree. But here's what you're missing. If you tell me ahead of time you're either going to win 5 games or 0 games, I'd say, oh, well, give me the 0. When they're 3-2, what's going through your mind?
Well, yeah. I mean, they showed.
Oh, well, yeah. There you go.
No. I get what you're saying, and they showed their moments where it was like, hey, you win this, you win a couple more here, and all of a sudden we're in the hunt. But at the end of the day, with last season, when you took a step back, you know they're not really going anywhere.
Probably not.
Right? I mean, very, very probably not.
When Austin Seferian Jenkins' touchdown was called a turnover, what did you say when you were sitting wherever you were sitting?
I let myself get sucked in. I know what you mean.
Okay.
I know what you mean, because there is some level, as pessimistic as I am and as logical as I tried to be about tanking, there are moments where, I mean, I did it with the Mets this year at 11-1. I let my stupid brain get sucked in a little bit. I always try to keep at arm's length because I know for guys like us in this city, for these teams, the other shoe is always going to drop.
Good things don't happen.
They don't last.
That's what it is.
And you know what? And especially with the Mets, when they do, it ends up almost being more heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all right, we made the World Series. Well, we lost to the Yankees. All right, we got, like, the best team probably we've ever had. Wainwright curveball in embarrassing fashion to a team that we absolutely should have beat. Oh, we make the World Series. We lead for 92% of the World Series against the Kansas City Royals and lose in 5 games. Every time they even do put something together,
I know,
it ends up being more heartbreaking.
No,
good things don't happen.
No, here's the way I was looking at it. We are not allowed good things. They don't last. They tease you with them.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Jets, I mean, the back-to-back title game.
Absolutely.
Was freaking amazing.
Right.
I'll never forget that Rex Ryan video clip of, yeah, that's right, same old Jets, back in the AFC Championship. Mm-hmm. I was so pumped about that.
When I started at Barstool, it was right when Rex started, and he was a blogging goldmine. But it was like both of us kind of came in together and we're doing our thing, and it was great to be a Jets fan in that moment. Something I can't believe I'm even saying out loud.
But look what's happened since.
I know.
That's the thing. But the signs are there with this Darnold.
And so you think that how they ended up still landing their man is epic enough?
I think that
being the youngest ever. I don't know if everything you describe with the Cavs, the Cubs,
I don't know if it fits
in up. Yeah.
Look, there are moments where you think something's about to turn and it never happens. This year with the Mets, I'll give you a Met example because I've got a guy who works here who gives me a ton of crap for this. It was a Friday night. The Mets are playing the Phillies. They've cooled off, but they're not out of it yet. It's still May. And Michael Conforto hits a foul home run that should win them the game. And then it's foul. And a few pitches later, hits the real thing. They beat the Phillies on a Friday night in Philly. Looks like Conforto's getting hot. Looks like the Mets are getting hot. I was on the air the next day on the Saturday, and I said, This could be the turnaround. This could be when the Mets are having their World Series video. This is going to be the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I try to write the script in my head, too. I know what you mean.
It doesn't work
that way. You try to make the narrative fit, and it just doesn't.
So I can't tell you for certain that this is epic enough, but think about it. You are one of the guys, and there were a lot of people like you. Ernie was one. Brandon Tierney works at the network. They were all tank, 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 and they all were tanking for the same guy.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't play as badly as we think. They get the sixth pick in the draft. Six. What are the odds they get to one? They trade up to get to three. All right. It's not going to be Darnold, but okay.
Somebody. One of them.
One of them. Yeah. We'll see. And then somehow Darnold drops. The Browns, as you would say, about the Jets. The Giants say,
made their choice, and that's going to be debated forever.
We'll see. I don't know.
It's going to be a strange scenario, I think, where it's going to be okay one way or the other, but there will just be people forever who wanted the quarterback, and then people whoever on Saquon's side, and it'll be argued forever. But, yeah, the fact that's another little piece that does fall into the mix, where it's like not only did they make a kind of a weird decision, but they are the crosstown team.
Yes.
I can see,
you see the
story.
The script
it's a chapter
writing?
In the book. It's a chapter in the book. I get it.
The book
I
is being.
Right. I think I know how this book ends, man.
How does it end? With him being Mark Sanchez?
I think so.
Why?
I think he's just not going to be that good because that's always how it happens,
how old
man.
Are you again?
Huh?
How old are you?
33.
So we're the same age. But I mean, I'm older, but you know, we're the same age.
Yeah.
35. So we've basically seen the same stuff.
Yep.
Joe's won a championship. A lot of our older Jet fans have that Super Bowl, which in a way makes it worse, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because they saw
tasted it before, yeah.
Right. I haven't tasted a damn thing. Neither have you.
Yep. Nothing.
I mean,
and you know what scares me? So I was one in 86, and I am afraid that is the sports gods are going to call that like the one in my lifetime.
No, that's
not.
Like, no,
I was technically alive for it. So that's all you get, Kevin.
Dude, no way.
I also have a theory that it might just be me. Like, if I ever die unexpectedly, or maybe when I'm older, go bet the rent on the Mets the next year and we're winning the World
Sounds
Series.
Sounds like somebody we know. I've heard that comment before. I don't think it's just you. No offense. I don't think you're important enough for it to just be you.
I hope you're right, man, because then I feel like if it's really my fault, I'll do something crazy.
Look, you know what the other thing that's kind of weird?
What's that?
From a certain angle, you kind of look like a skinnier Sam Darnold. Not that Sam Darnold is fat.
I'll take it.
A skinnier face. Like, Sam Darnold's kind of
got... He's got that blockhead for sure.
He's got a blocky
Someone
head.
Someone said on Twitter, they said he looks like those stone heads from Easter Island.
Yes.
Like, that's what he looks
he
like.
He does.
Yeah. Hey, I'll take that, though.
He kind of... With the hair?
Yeah, all right. Listen, he's got great hair.
I didn't say he has great hair, but Josh McCown has great hair.
Yeah,
He has the better hair. I tend to be negative, too. In fact, here's where I'm mostly negative. When the Mets were in the World Series, I didn't think they'd beat the Royals simply because, well, I can't picture it. I can't picture being at a parade.
That was the most confident I've ever
been.
Why? I really thought that pitching, I didn't think the Royals, I mean, the Royals did what they did with the contact. They contacted us to death. I didn't think that was enough. I mean, they were losing for 92% of the series.
They weren't that good. Yeah, but when they lose game one the way they lost game one, which was just like 2000,
mm-hmm.
it was the same freaking thing as far as blowing a lead. There's that moment. Jay Rice, of course, has to quick pitch, of course. He's got to do that.
That kind of gets lost. I'm happy you said that. Like, the real ones remember, why did you quick pitch?
That was the game.
Why did you do that?
That was a game. Because once that game is tied, it's over. The Mets were not winning that game.
Mm-hmm.
There was no
way. And once
you
lose that game, it pretty much... That's a team that just spirals from there.
It was 2000.
Right.
It's 2000. And because even in 2000, remember, they had a chance to win game five against the Yankees and at least get it back to Yankee Stadium. Not that they had any chance to win that series.
They ran into a juggernaut. But you win game one, you win game five, things are totally different.
87 win juggernaut. The 2000
Well, I mean, I'm talking the end of a dynasty type
of thing. No, you're right. Midday show. I'm joined by KFC from Barstool stopping by, talking some sports with him. Big Met fan, and you're not being fooled by the way they're playing right now, right?
No. I cannot be fooled by the Mets. Like, I'm foolproof with the Mets. Even in this start, even with their start, everyone was like, buy into them, here we go. And I played along with it. I had some fun with it, but I absolutely always knew
11-1,
was coming.
You weren't confident?
No.
You weren't thinking that this could be something different?
No, I really wasn't.
I bought into it.
I let myself buy in more than I was, because I was convinced the season was going to be absolute trash. But I never... for 1 second thought, like, we're making the playoffs.
When did you buy in 2015, then? After Wilmer Flores was crying and then hit the home run?
Yeah, I mean, that was...
That was the moment?
Like, just that whole second half, like, once Yo started cooking, and I remember saying, like, people asking for Conforto. I was like, he's not the answer. We need so many more pieces than that. And then after that whole trade deadline, see, that was epic. That's the kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The 4 days in Flushing thing. You were part of that, right, on SNY?
Like, yes.
That is the epic story where you say to yourself, all right, there's an angle here. I bought in then, yeah.
Yeah, but there are a lot of times throughout fandom where you think that is happening, and it doesn't. Conforto in Philly. Not that I thought the Mets were going to win the pennant, but I thought it was a turnaround.
Yeah.
I remember the Yankees in 09. Their moment, and I thought it at the time, not that I wanted it, but I thought it, was in Atlanta when Girardi got ejected and Francisco Cervelli, who was nothing at the time, hits this big home run. They beat the Braves in interleague play, and it felt like a moment that
something's
was going
to... Something's there, yeah.
Something's there. And look, they went out and they won the damn World Series, and that's the game that you look at. I thought the trade deadline getting Yoenis, remember what happened the 2 days before that.
I remember...
How could we forget that?
I was all in on Carlos Gomez. I was happy about him.
I know.
And, I mean, obviously, that's the best thing that never happened, but... I mean, what was different about that is, like, Yo came in and was playing like this franchise has seen very few times.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, there's been very few guys who are just like, wow, you
yeah.
know? And so that is enough of a turning point for me where it was like, this is something we've never had before.
Yeah. And even the day before he debuted, Wilmer hitting that home run,
mm-hmm.
it felt like something was moving there.
Yep.
You know, something was changing
yep.
there
and the
with
tears.
That.
And there was the little things that season, the rally parakeet and, like, dumb things like that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you need talent, obviously. Talent
sure.
trumps all. But those are the little things. That's why everybody bought into the salt and pepper, the Todd Frazier. And it was like, well, it's day one. You can't force those things. They have to just come about organically.
How stupid do people feel who have those T-shirts? I mean, they have to feel so. What's a dumber T-shirt, all right? Salt and pepper. Or no run DMC with Yankee fans. Which
now, listen,
one's dumber?
Listen, at Barstool Sports, we make a lot of T-shirts.
No, I know that.
And
you're an expert on this.
Some of them are hits, and then we have some legendarily bad ones. Those are...
I want to hear some legendary bad ones now.
I never even made the salt and pepper, because I was like, this is so stupid
and
so forced.
So dumb.
And I couldn't even... I was like, it's free money. People will buy these. And I was like, I'm not doing it. I can't buy into it. It's that stupid.
Oh, it was in the key word is it was forced.
So forced. It was day. I mean, it's one. It's game one. We have a gimmick. That's not how it works.
But that's what kind of one of the many things that turned me off about Todd Frazier. He's very gimmicky.
You're out on Todd Frazier?
I've never been out.
Okay, my man. I love that.
When the hell was I in on him?
All right. I'm happy to hear that because so many people. I know he's a nice guy. He's personable. He talks with the media and everything. He is. So corny and so forced, and I understand he's trying to, like, bring the clubhouse together, but you can't just make a thumbs down or a salt and pepper and just run with it every time.
It worked with the Yankees.
Yeah.
It worked.
It did. Because they need that. You know, they need to be – they're so corporate that it's, like, everyone loves the fact that they were actually just, like, kind of hanging out in the clubhouse
and
doing funny things.
But it was natural, too.
So natural.
I mean, the whole moment – I was actually at that game, oddly enough. I just thought the idea of the Yankees playing a home game at Citi Field was weird enough where I went to that game.
Strange.
And
the original thumbs down moment was one of my favorite viral moments ever.
Just
I thought that guy was so funny.
Yeah.
And then it just got so ruined and so tarnished and it became this Yankee thing.
Yeah, and it was overdone a bit. Now, I have to admit, because Ernie just called me out on this off, you know, in my earphone. I don't want to be a complete hypocrite. Yesterday, I went in on Todd Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
I started to love him because of what happened with the fake ball. Okay?
That
was amazing.
I like guys who are pulling that kind of stuff.
I mean,
sure.
To pull that off
sure.
in the way he did.
I actually was a little upset at SNY for basically snitching on him.
Oh, come on.
We wouldn't have known. I know, but I'm just saying,
And I don't want to get to this because you actually tweet. I think I saw this story on your Twitter account from the Washington Post where they examined when fans give up on their seasons.
Incredible piece of work.
I want to get to that in a minute. But do you watch the Mets at this point right now?
No, I mean, I'm pretty checked out.
You're checked out?
I check. I watched DeGrom. I'm a realistic fan. I'm a battered fan. And I'm a fan who's sick and tired of the Wilpons.
No, I am
I
too.
Can't,
but what does that mean?
So I'm not going to just sit there and smash my head against the wall anymore. I've been doing it for 30 years. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, but
I know it's. I know where we're going here. It's misery. It's disappointment. It's infuriating. I can't do it anymore. I got two kids now. I got a stressful job.
You got two kids now?
Yes, I got two kids.
Yeah, your first kid's name was Shay.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the second kid's
Keegan.
Name? Keegan after the golfer?
No relation.
Keegan Bradley?
We just like the name. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Keegan Bradley is a friend of Barstool, so we had a good laugh when I told him that.
But it has nothing to do with that.
No. And Shay, I mean, listen, it depends on who you talk to in the family. Some people just say, hey, it's a nice Irish name that we liked.
Right.
I'm telling you that it was named after the stadium.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
Yeah, what, your kid's name is...
You know my kid's name?
Jet. Jet, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Spit it out.
So you're sick.
I'm telling you right now, okay? Am I lying to you? Was not named after the Jets.
Really?
It's a convenient thing, no doubt.
Okay, so we're in the same boat then.
Yeah, because I'll tell you exactly what happened. I said to my wife, I said, look, I'm a big fan of the letter J, okay? I wanted to show respect to my mom and dad. Both names start with J. Love the letter J, right? So she said, okay, I'm good. Let's do J, right? Let's do Jay. But you also like the name Lucas. Now, you know why I didn't like the name Lucas? I'll give you a wild guess.
That does it involve a throw home? Does
yes.
It involve a, yeah.
It involves that dopey first baseman. I said, there's no way. She said, baby, people are going to forget about Lucas Duda. Mm-hmm. He's going to be gone. I said, no, I'm never going to forget. So I ixnayed the Lucas one.
I like that move.
And then, so there were a lot of J's going around. Jake was a really cool name, but Jake Roberts, I mean, that's kind of weird.
Okay.
Jake the Snake Roberts, and
okay.
Wrestling.
I feel you.
So she said, you know, Jet's a cool name. I said, that is a great name. And I said, but just understand something, baby. And that's what I call her. I said, understand something, baby. Everybody will think.
You got another perception, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be. And she said, listen, people could think whatever they want. That's
well, so when Shea was being born, it was 2015, so the Mets were going on their run. So it was we were all okay with it kind of being Mets related, but then they went on their run, and,
right.
And the family was like, well, now it's really going to look like you named them after the Mets in this run. So I had some people rooting against them, some people rooting for them. It became a whole mess, but we're. You know, it's a nice little nod for guys like us.
You know what's interesting about Shea? Because I'm not going to lie to you, and I shouldn't say this, but whatever.
Whatever. Let it fly.
All right. Hopefully my wife's in a meeting. We talked about that for a second, kid, mm-hmm. The name Shea.
Mm-hmm.
Again, nothing to do with Shea Stadium.
Just a nice name. It's a great name.
But you can go boy or girl with that,
yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
You have a girl named Shea.
Yes, sir.
Okay. But you can go boy. Remember Shea Hillenbrand?
Mm-hmm. Shea Patterson in Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of...
Yeah, it plays both ways. I mean, a lot of names do these days, right? People just make up their own rules. It doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You can name your kid anything.
But you also, like, I think about this, and maybe I shouldn't, but I do think about, hey, I don't want him to be, or her to be made fun of in school.
I
don't want that name to be
as
something...
As long as you don't... Just don't put him in a position to be bullied, and I feel like you've done your job with the naming.
Yeah, you don't want to give that any... It's tough enough. We all remember going to school. Everybody mm-hmm. listening. Especially when you're in middle school. That's the worst.
Yeah.
Not elementary school.
School everyone's still young, kind of having fun.
Yeah, you
bullies
cute.
Develop like 6th, 7th grade when people start to really pick on you.
It's the viciousness in middle school. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to create anything.
No.
But Shea's a cool name.
Yeah, I love it.
Did you think of any other Met or Jet-related names before Keegan
was settled?
No, that was
pretty much
settled?
It. I mean, I didn't think that was even going to be possible. So it was her aunt recommended it, and she was like, okay, yeah. And I was like, oh, really? Okay, let's go. I didn't even know that was on the table.
Right.
Let's do it.
I don't know how
Benitez
this...
was another one we were thinking of.
because I don't have a lot of favorite players in my lifetime.
Okay.
There have been some. I loved Rico Bronya, you know, Edgardo Alfonso. But this guy, just Jacob deGrom, is a legitimate favorite Met. And it's not because of this dominance now. It started 4 years ago when every Met fan was disrespecting him. Because
mm-hmm.
they were. You
mm-hmm.
know this.
Absolutely.
You were probably one of them.
I don't think I was ever down on him, but I know what you mean. Especially,
not down, just but, Harvey's better.
Yes.
Everybody's
better. With the amount of sexy names that were coming up around him, he was always the forgotten one. And then eventually you just got to the point where if you were paying attention, it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, but
he's pitching better than all of them every single turn of the rotation.
But you know when that finally happened? This year.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even last year,
right.
Because I think MLB Network did their MLB rankings this year, and Met fans agreed Syndergaard was considered the ace. He was ahead of Jacob mm-hmm. deGrom, and I didn't even
Which
understand
is
it then.
Lunacy, man.
Well, now it is.
Yeah.
Now it's
no,
even
but,
more
but,
lunacy.
Yeah, I mean, now there's, if anybody out there still debating,
no,
I mean,
no
they're just
debate.
Not watching.
No.
But, I mean, and it's the way he goes about it, too. You know what I mean? It's
him.
Just, he is so underrated, even still. He can win
the
Cy Young this year, and I think he deserves it, and I think he'd still be underrated.
Yeah, and I don't have anything against Noah Syndergaard. I like Noah Syndergaard, and it's fine that he plays up his personality, and he's got the long hair, and he's got mm-hmm. the nickname,
Thor, yeah.
all
yeah.
that.
Cocky, you know, 60 feet, 6 inches, come meet me, all that. Love that, yeah.
But there is something to be said about a guy who is the simple man. That's his theme song. He's just such a
mm-hmm. –
and I almost thought he cut his hair because he didn't want that to be a distraction.
Yeah.
He's like you know what?
It's a talking point.
Yeah.
It's a media thing. Get rid of it. All I do is pitch.
Yeah.
It's
I'm awesome. Just going out there pitching and hitting, too. I have to drive in every freaking run for my team.
I mean, his numbers are – they're comical. You know, like the
–
what does he have, like a 1-4 ERA and no decisions or something like that?
It's
like a
1-1.
One. It's just like – he literally can't do anything more, and they can't seem to win for this guy. It's disgusting.
The good thing is I think we now live in a world where I don't think these voters care about wins. But here's the new thing I'm concerned about. I'm telling you right now, concerned, because I read this in The Athletic this morning. I didn't even want to finish the article because I had a stomachache. Basically, that Aaron Nola pitches in such a difficult ballpark.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's Citizens Bank Park. You know, DeGrom is in this beautifully big stadium, and that's going to be the disqualifying factor.
Get lost. I mean, it's like they're taking every little other factor and ignoring the enormous one sitting right in front of your face with Jacob DeGrom.
Plus.
And you know, another one, too, he's pitching for a team who's not in contention. As if that, I think if anything, that works for him. His team is trash. His defense is trash. His offense is trash. Every single pitch he throws matters. Pressure pack to try to win every
Ernie,
single game.
Turn the mic on. He wants to yell at you, I'm sure. Because he hates that argument. Go ahead.
All of that's wrong. There's no pressure.
Wait, I need
that. He can't hear you.
Oh, no, he can't hear you? I'm sorry.
I'll yell at him after the break when we get him headphones.
All right, we'll let you. I'll describe what he's saying later to you. We'll get you headphones. We're sorry. We weren't fully prepared, obviously. We're not a real professional environment
listen,
around here.
I'm coming from Barstool, pal. It's fine. This is a high-class operation compared to ours.
Oh, very high-class. Well, you should have seen Astoria. Oh, my God.
That's where you cut your teeth, right? That's where you made your bones.
That's right. I still miss it because it was such a dump, but it was like Shea Stadium.
Yeah, it's your dump.
It's our dump.
Yeah.
I miss Shea Stadium.
Yeah,
I still do.
Me too. Our city's beautiful.
It's fine. You know what it is? It's a big mall, all right?
Well, but like Yankee Stadium is truly the big mall. You know what I mean? Like when they both had the new ballparks, the Mets clearly kind of won that battle.
Well,
I definitely think so. You think you like Yankee Stadium more than Citi Field? That's crazy.
I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth there, kid.
I mean...
Here's what I'd say. I like the fact that the Yankees tried to recreate Yankee Stadium. I like that. Because Yankee Stadium's historic. I don't care what you think about the Yankees, it's Yankee Stadium. So they put the white things up there, whatever it's called. You know, the
facade.
The facade,
whatever,
yes.
Yeah,
I forgot the word. They put the facade up there. They tried to make it feel like Yankee Stadium. Citi Field's just something completely different. It's just a brand new ballpark. And it's a cute ballpark. It's fine. It's nice. It is what it is. And there is convenience to it that's a lot better than Shea Stadium. The bathrooms are a lot cleaner.
Yeah. I mean, every bathroom in the world is cleaner than the Shea Stadium bathrooms.
No,
all right, pal?
Absolutely. Or here's the best. Yankee Stadium, too. When there was a rain delay at Shea Stadium or Yankee Stadium, you had nowhere to go.
Yeah. There's the concourse and there's the clubs and the restaurants.
The only place they had at Shea Stadium was Casey's. Remember Casey's?
Yeah.
Casey Stengel. I was named after Casey Stengel. Casey's. And no one could ever get in there because it would fit 13 people.
Right.
So that was it. So basically during rain delays, you'd have to just sit in the rain. That's how bad the place was.
But that's what it was about. Like that's what you remember.
I know. That's what sports is about.
Right.
It's not about being comfortable like you're in a hotel.
No.
I mean,
sports is not fun. You're getting this is fun? It's terrible. It's the most stressful thing in my life.
No, it's true. I'm telling you, when the teams are good, and they're not, right?
No.
I mean, think about it. For all of us. Knicks haven't been good in years. Nets haven't been good in years. So basketball, we're fine. Jets haven't been in the playoffs since January of 11. The Mets, 16. I know it's not that long ago. I don't know if you're a hockey
fan. You're on the radar,
fan. Though.
I'm a fake Islanders fan.
Oh, fake Islander fan.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a hockey guy, but I jumped on the bandwagon probably like, I don't know, 5 years ago.
5 years ago?
Yeah.
Why would you wait so long?
I am just not a hockey guy, but it was like, because of Barstool, JT was doing his thing. I was like, I'm going to take some interest in this. But I can't. I cannot. I work with a couple other Islanders fans who are sick in the head. They live around the corner from the Coliseum, been, to every game ever.
Right.
I can't,
compare to them. But I can't match that either. I mean, I'm an Islander fan. I watch a lot of games, don't get me wrong, but not on the level of basketball. Basketball, it's tough to love both of those sports equally.
Right. You're usually one or the other.
But none of our teams have been good for a while. But when they're good, I say this all the time, I hate it because I'm miserable.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. That's why I feel bad for Yankee fans. On October 3rd, we're going to have our feet up.
Yep.
We're going to be relaxed. We're chilling. Yankee fans, every
pitch. Well, I'll say this. I hate the Yankees as much as I love the Mets.
That's sick.
I feel like every postseason, I'm in the postseason rooting against whoever the Yankees are playing. So my feet are not up. I'm sweating, man.
Yeah, there are a lot of Mets fans. I used to be like that. I don't know what happened. I think 2004 happened.
That just, like, them losing that kind of, like, you stopped hating because they got so embarrassed?
Yeah.
I want them to get embarrassed every single year.
No, I know. I see you retweet Carrabas all the time with his Yankees lose David Ortiz
gift. Me and him
have
been tag teaming that fan base. The Yankee fan base is the absolute softest and most sensitive, thin-skinned in the entire world.
It's
unbelievable.
It's not really true.
For the amount of success they have, they get triggered at the slightest chirp. It's unbelievable.
Well,
and they just dance. It's just make them dance. Me and Carrabas have them dancing on strings. It's unbelievable.
What about the Met fan base? Look what we do. The Mets have, and this ticked me off, we have one good year, and it's take back the city.
Taking it back. Yeah, no, you're going to always, every fan base has a bunch, as a sect of idiots, no doubt. It's just that we lose all the time. We should be idiotic. The Yankees, for how much winning they do, they've been there before. They know how to act. They don't know how to handle any of it.
They've won one championship in the last 17 years.
But there's a perception of the franchise, and there's a type of fan that they just grow up as.
Yeah.
And they they can't handle any of the ball busting.
Hey, here's the truth. I used to be that. I don't know if it was simply the Red Sox. I don't know. Maybe it's even being here. I don't know.
Your job? Business?
Maybe.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be, because there are plenty of people here who I mean, Chris Russo hated the Yankees all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't blame it on being here. It could be a small factor. But to me, it really changed in 04, because when they lost to the Red Sox, it was just different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, it changed history forever. But me, I will still relish every single loss.
So you will be stressed out October 3rd?
1,000%.
Oh, all right. Well, then
I know
I
what
feel
you
bad
mean.
For you.
Yeah, no, but I my two favorite teams are the Mets and whoever's playing the Yankees.
I get it. I think my dad is still like that.
Good.
My dad hates the Yankees so much that I think it was 1976, so it didn't work out because the Yankees lost that World Series. He was so ticked off they won the pennant, he left town.
I've done media blackouts before. It was 03 after that Wakefield, after the Aaron Boone home run. I didn't read the paper. I didn't go on the internet. I just tried to, I stayed in my dorm room, and I just, stared at the wall for days.
You know what year I tell you the year. When someone says, what World Series didn't you watch? I actually watched a little bit of 06, but very much at the end, because mm-hmm. I was disgusted. 99. The Yankees and the Braves, after the Mets are down 3-0, they come back, game six. They have the miracle comeback. Piazza against Smoltz. Kenny Rogers walking people. That whole disaster.
Kenny Rogers ball four was one of the lowest moments of my life.
I cried that night.
Yeah.
Did you cry?
I have never really. I think the closest I ever came to crying was the Wainwright curveball. I don't cry. I just get deeply internally depressed. But I don't begrudge anybody who lets the tears fly for moments like that. We all should be crying. I wish I did. I should have.
You know what Ernie kills me for? He kills me. Here's when I cry. All right. The day they won the division in 15.
Tears of joy. You know what?
I think I
did, too.
For the division.
I kind of teared up a little bit. Yeah, like when they, it was like David Wright's home run. He came back. That whole, the Gary Cohen had a call that was very.
It wasn't that game. It was a Saturday against Cincinnati, but Wright came back in Philadelphia. But it was, around a similar time. But
yeah, there was a moment in that. I got a little dusty, yeah.
Yeah. It was just thinking about the accomplishment.
Yes, I feel you. And I really attribute a lot of that to Gary Cohen for me. I mean, I feel like he nailed that call, and I was like, this is a moment. This is part of the script.
Yeah, and see, what Ernie didn't understand is that they don't win divisions a lot. That's not
a
common thing.
Yeah.
Like, if the Jets won the AFC East this year, let's just go into this fictitious world.
I was going to say, yeah.
Tom Brady,
we have left reality, folks.
Join me in this new reality, right? Tom Brady just gets old. It just happens. He's terrible. And Sam Darnold is Aaron Rodgers. He is unbelievable.
God. I mean, I think I'd cry every single day if that happened. It would just be, I would not handle myself.
That's true. I'd cry every day. But if they won the division, I think I would tear. I almost cried with Ernie when the Jets beat the Patriots in the AFC playoffs. In the second round, mm-hmm. the divisional round, when they got to the championship game. Because it was, remember, I think what added to it is that me, Ernie, and Joe went to the 45-3 game.
45-3. Oh, my God.
Let me tell you something, Kev. We got crushed by these people.
Sure.
We're not even saying anything.
Right.
We are leaving there with our tails between our legs, and they are screaming things at us. You dirty New Yorkers. Yeah. The Jets, blank. And these horrible, horrible things. And Ernie's ready to fight them.
I was going
to
say, I'm surprised everybody came back, not in cuffs.
Well, because Joe and I are smart. Ernie's a maniac. Yeah. Okay, Ernie wants to fight. Ernie's wearing a Yankee hat. He just wants to make it even worse.
Okay.
Imagine that. Yeah,
some people want to just watch the world burn.
Yeah, that's what he wants. It's got a stupid game. Joe and I are just like, listen, let's just get out of here a little
bit.
Okay?
Yeah.
And let's just get the hell out of
here. That game. It was bad enough for my couch. I can't imagine being there.
Being there.
Jesus.
Right? Long drive home, the whole thing. Now they play. In fact, it was so bad, Joe didn't come with us.
Really?
It was
he's
just
done.
Me and Ernie.
I love Joe B throwing in the towel on certain things. He's like, I'm not doing it.
I'm not going.
Wrong. I'm not doing it.
And we tried. Didn't we try to convince him, Ernie?
We did. And I was also very obnoxious after we won with the fans.
Ernie's admitting that he was obnoxious. And he was. He was bad. Joe and I weren't. We just got the heck out of there. But he didn't want to go back. And I understood it. But my point to him then and my point now was, we're probably going to lose. And it's going to be bad. What if we win? And that's why that game rivals one of the great moments as a sports fan.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it was so improbable. So I wish it happened now for me. Barstool was still really coming of age. Portnoy and the Patriots fans at Barstool hadn't become as cocky as they are now. So we won, and I was able to bust balls and talk trash and rub it in their face.
But if
that happened now at where we're at and the way Portnoy has staked his whole reputation on him, if the Jets somehow had an improbable postseason win against them in Foxborough against, I mean, forget it.
Yeah.
That would change my career, bro. It would change everything.
It would
honestly change my career. Crazy.
I think that all the time, too. Like, things in sports could actually change.
Your life.
It would change.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I have right now I have a mentality that I will probably never see it happen.
Absolutely. The way you do your show, the way you carry yourself at home, at work, everywhere, life will change forever. And I know everyone says, like, well, hey, listen, the day you guys do win, it'll be that much sweeter.
Yes, I agree with that.
I subscribe to that thought, but it's also like, but if it never happens?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's the as you get older.
Like
and
10,
I just hit
20, 30 more years of this?
Yeah, I don't know. I just hit 35. Now, I get it. You're 33. We're young. Right? In the whole grand scheme of things, we're young, right? We should, if we have normal lives,
should
last
see one.
A few more years.
Yeah, hopefully.
And hopefully, but I want one of each, too. I don't want to just see one of
pick
them.
One.
Oh, the Mets. It's got to be
too.
The Mets.
Okay, I'm the same way. Like, it's not even close. I would take one Mets World Series over a dozen of everything else. I need a World
Series. A
dozen?
Series.
I mean, yeah, that's a lot.
Jeez.
It's a lot.
I mean, you're telling me the Nets are going to be a dynasty. I don't know, man. You're telling me Sam Darnold's going to be Tom Brady. I don't know. No, I think because I don't know about you, but baseball was my first love.
Yeah,
was what
I mean, that's
me
what my mom is actually. My dad's not much into sports. It's my mom in my house. And, like, that's what we grew up on. That's what is our family, like, unites around.
Right.
So, to me, that would be what changes my life totally.
Yeah, it's close for me between the Nets and the Jets for two. I probably lean Jets, but it's different. I feel the community would celebrate a Jet win, and I'd get to celebrate it.
I mean, if the Nets win, it's like you and four other guys.
Well, there'll be a lot of front runners.
I guess so, but there'll be
they're
like, there's always bandwagon, but like your parade will have like 1,000 real fans total.
No, you're probably right.
You know what? It might be good for you. You might be like on the float. You might be like, Ev's the only Net fan out here. You want to give a speech? You, they'll probably give you a ring, man.
Hey, that's true. Now I really want the Nets to win it. I want that ring, not the fake ring that the Mets will hand out, the Yankees hand out after they win.
No, you want the real one.
I got the 86 fake ring. They had a giveaway for that. It was very cool. You told me something funny about the Johan no-hitter, because that was, and we were explaining this to Ernie.
Ernie doesn't get it.
No,
these guys don't get it.
Non-Met fans don't understand the importance of the no-hitter. The no-hitter was the holy grail for us Met fans. I'm not saying you should understand it.
It's a little weird.
It's weird.
But like I said, we had a long, rich history of pitching. It never happened. It was an anomaly. We wanted it. Let us enjoy it. You don't have to celebrate it with us.
No.
Just leave us alone.
Yeah. It was one of I'll tell you right now, it's top five moment I've had as a sports fan.
It was a great moment for me and a horrible moment for my family.
Now, tell me what happened.
So, like I said earlier, my mom is the true Mets fan. She's the one who's been She cursed us with this, really. And but now, you know, she's a little bit older. She's watch every game. And so usually I'll give her a call, heads up. Hey, you know, we're blowing them out. It's a good game. Watch it. Pitching, you know, is great. But a no-hitter is a different story.
Sure.
I got a little superstitious with it. Didn't want to jinx it. So I didn't call her. But I called her right after the third out. And I said, were you watching? And she was like, what? And I was like, it's a no-hitter. Yo, I got a no-hitter. And she hung up the phone on me, and she didn't talk to me for like 4 weeks. It was like a solid month where she was actually livid. I had to like apologize. Like I really like poured my guts out and apologized to her. It was that much of a moment for us.
You needed to preempt and discuss it. Like ahead of time to know, hey, what? Because what I've told you is my dad DVRs every game. He just doesn't like commercials. So he'll start every Met game an hour or two late. And I do that a lot too. Not all the time, but sometimes I'll do that. And so it was Friday night. I'm luckily in the building because if I missed that game, I would be depressed beyond belief.
Yep.
My dad wasn't in the building, unfortunately for him. And I do feel bad. Guy's been to thousands of Met games. He had never seen a no-hitter, period, in person.
Right.
And he doesn't see it. And then a few years later, he's in the building for what's his name? Chris Heston.
Oh, wow.
His first no-hitter was Chris Heston, of all people.
Wow.
But in the sixth or seventh inning, I didn't know what to do because you know, my dad wants to watch the game.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? Blank. I got to do it.
Yeah.
So I called him and I said, I don't know what to do right now. And he knows I'm at the game. He says, is he pitching a no-hitter? Right away.
You got a sense for it. Almost need like a keyword. If I just pick up the phone and I say like pineapple, you know something's going on. Turn on the game.
But I wasn't afraid of the jinx because pre-Johan, Johan's a big moment in everybody's life if you're a Met fan. It's a huge moment. Pre-Johan, first inning, I would think about no-hitters.
Right.
And I'd mention it.
Oh, as soon as it's a hit, like, well, there it goes. All right.
That's
you
it.
Know? Yeah.
And this is how it changed my life. I was just trying, I didn't get to it off air, but I said to Ernie, Johan's no-hitter pitch changed my life. Here's how it changed my life. I had a drug of having to go to every Met game
in
because
case.
I couldn't miss it.
You got set free.
I got set free.
Wow.
And
interesting.
So Johan pitches the no-hitter, and I am much more relaxed now.
Yeah.
If, God forbid, Noah Syndergaard pitches a no-hitter, I'll be disappointed I'm not there.
But if you miss the second, it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Even when Scherzer pitched his no-hitter, Because if I had never seen any no-hitter, even if it's against
the
Mets.
You'd like to see the opposition? I've had this argument before. I don't want to see that.
No, no. I don't want to see it, but I'd want to be there, if that makes any sense. I wouldn't be rooting for it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Okay. So the Scherzer no-hitter, which was in 2015, the Saturday before the season ended, was a doubleheader. Mm-hmm. They played a day-night doubleheader. And so I went to the first game. The second game, my wife or girl, I think she was my girlfriend. No, we were married at that time. I said, you know what? Let's do something else. The playoffs are going to start. But we went online to get the towel because they were giving away a towel that night. Go home, Max pitches a no-hitter, and I was more freed about it.
Right. So like, sometimes you need that.
Yeah.
You can't live your whole life
waiting.
Yeah.
That's why God it happened. Yeah. What would I do right now?
We're sick, man. I mean, Ernie doesn't get it, but I also get where he's coming from. We're sick.
Yeah, we're very sick people. Hey, I appreciate coming.
Thank you, man. I had a lot of fun. Anytime you want me back.
What's your Twitter account to give
a
plug?
KFC Barstool.
Not that you need help. You have a million followers.
I'll take it, man. Every little bit counts, right?
KFC Barstool.
Thank you, sir. Really appreciate it.
All right, my friend. It's KFC, ladies and gentlemen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.